Welcome to the podcast. This is Dave Say, digital media designer.
And I'm photographer Sid Caesar.
And it's December 9th, 2010, and we've got another fun-filled podcast for you today.
Fun-filled?
We were just talking about whether or not we needed these intros or not. Like, welcome to the podcast. What do you think about that, Sid?
I guess. It helps. I guess you need an introduction, right? You do need an introduction.
Some people know who's talking.
That's like, would it be better if it just like the music faded in and just like came in as we were talking about something?
I don't know.
Or do we just start something like the music starts going down and you're like, so, you know, blah, blah, blah. Or do you need that, you know, like, you know, guy standing in front of the circus tent, like, welcome one and all. Come on into the podcast.
That might be why I do it.
See the strange bearded man. See Dave as he coughs all over everybody in the studio.
I'm still sick. There's a stuff spraying all over.
You've had that for a long time.
This is like the third week, I think, going upon this.
Yeah, you should see him. He rides around with his little SARS mask over his face.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's totally awesome. It's not as cool as a Daft Punk helmet, but it's close. So what do we got going on this week, Sid?
We got all kinds of stuff going on. Well, the first thing that I want to make notice is that you designed a new like album cover thing for the podcast.
We designed one.
We did. That's true. We did. Because we were getting sick of... Well, you got comments that... on the other one that we were using, and people said that I didn't look friendly and or approachable.
Yeah, I think the comment I received was that, although I like the picture because you look crazy in it, it says, that does not the Sid Caesar that I know. And it says, yeah, that's true. And you know, plus I know that you didn't like the picture because it was grainy and stuff like that.
Right.
It was like,
I think it was like a cell phone picture or something.
It just looks like that because it's like a high ISO picture. Like it's ISO 800, 1200 or something like that.
Yeah. I hadn't trimmed my beard in a long time and it was really long and it was, I had this kind of like.
Yeah, that crazy.
I did have kind of a crazy look on
it. I thought it was cool. I liked about it. It was like the evil side of Sid Caesar.
but there was no evil side of me.
No, there isn't. Except in that picture, it looks like
exactly. I can
it's like Wolfman Caesar or something.
Oh.
So like if you check out the podcast page or the iTunes page, you'll see the new cover on there.
Yeah.
So that's.
I think it looks great. I think like I was setting up for a different shoot in the studio, and while we were both here, I was like, why don't you come over here for a second, and we'll do some like full length shots on a white background.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they looked fantastic. And then I was playing around with it, and I think I had sent you this design that like was like, you know, you just have a better visual sense of design than I do. I'm still sort of in the learning stages. Like everything I play around with a little bit, but
yeah,
you
that's
sort
great.
Of yeah. And you, but you have like you know what you're doing. I'm kind of like, well, what if I did? And mine kind of looked like they were doing the Macarena a little bit. Like
yeah,
there's something very Macarena.
Arrows pointing. Yeah, it reminded me of like a learn Salsa in three easy steps. It had that kind of cover to it.
And the way I had it, and the way when I shot it, like I envisioned us sort of like both looking out of the like sides of our heads towards each other.
Yep.
And you like just completely turned it around because all you did was switch us around, and we were looking. Both of us were looking off camera, and it was just. I thought it was ingenious. I was just like, oh my god, that makes so much sense. And it was one of those things where it's like I've never done that.
You would have done it maybe by accident.
Maybe, well, unless you were like standing behind me, being like,
I do that a lot
at the time.
Like just talking to my imaginary.
Here's what you do: just like hit shift and arrow, and then it would like. But it was like the minute I saw it, I'm like, oh, that's it right there. That's that. I thought it looked. And then you came up with the great like Empire Strikes Back font, and it was like,
yeah, it's not perfect. Even close. That's the funny thing. Like, but it needed to allude, I think, to the inner geekiness that we have, because like, recently I had been listening to this podcast or a talk by this guy named Merlin Mann, who's known for his 43 folders thing. But he was talking about like in one of these talks he was giving at Deconstruct 2010. Which is a web conference that they had somewhere
like,
in England.
Is it like Dragon Con?
No. It was actually a legitimate web development thing with all these great speakers there. Great, great, great speakers who are like fabulous designers and web developers.
Oh.
And he's known for giving like pretty interesting talks, Merlin Mann is.
Okay.
And there's this one phrase he said in there, like, you got to let your freak flag fly.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, that's right, because you need to embrace your... Anything that you're going to do with passion, you know, it's maybe going to seem a little weird to people. And a lot of times that we feel we need to kind of hold it back.
Yeah.
We need to, like, not let it show as much, just lest we be laughed at. But yep. You know what? If you're going to stand out, in some interesting way, you're going to do something that has to be a little bit more out there.
You have to be yourself.
Yeah. So, like, when we were making the podcast thing, did you remember the first revision I made, which looked like it was, like, Muscle of Dogs or something like that? It was like we were both standing like next to each other, and there was a space in the middle, and the type was in between there,
yep.
And it looked like right in the middle there should have either been a baby or a hot girl on a park bench, and then there'd be both of those, and it'd be like one of those weird love triangle kind of things.
Oh my god,
or something like that,
yep.
And it looked okay from a clean perspective, but it didn't really capture what we were about. It was like a little bit too esoteric.
Yeah.
And then, let me rip off the Empire Strikes Back, logo. Or just the essence of it, the slanted type and then the positioning of the text. It's not the same font. It's not even, the same way.
No, you're so used to that being, nobody else uses it.
Yeah, you just see it and say, that's the Empire Strikes Back
font. And it looks, I think it's perfect. Yeah. I think it's so fantastic.
Yeah, so we're very pleased.
Yeah, and then he took his little headshot and he uses it you just made it your Facebook profile.
Yeah, because I had to get my Bugs Bunny face.
And it's like you're wearing you got your headphones on and then you're looking, your face is looking directly at the camera, but your eyes are looking off camera. And it all, like, every time I see it, I want to look to the right of where you are. So it's like, really? I constantly see your face and then I look over where it says Facebook on the website, like in the top. Like my eyes are constantly going to there. I think it's fantastic.
Really?
Like,
is this because you're used to seeing your head next to it and you need to point the other direction, or is it actually a visual cue that you're following?
No, it's just I see that and it's just my eyes see where you're looking and it's I want to look. It's like a photography thing. It's like, you know, it's like a lot of times, you know, the way that I compose a lot of my shots is I don't have the subject right in the center. I usually sort of put them off to the side somewhere. And usually you want to follow that. You want to, you look at that subject and then you want to see what they're looking at off camera. Like, what are they doing over there? Like, what's going on? What do they see that I'm not seeing?
Create some
Yeah. So anytime you sort of see somebody looking off somewhere, it's like, I'm like, what are you looking at? What?
I remember reading something about Facebook profile pictures. It was actually on OkCupid, which is this dating website, and they were going through. Used to have this list of suggestions for people's profile pictures, but then they analyzed the data.
You were
once.
Talking about this, yeah.
Yeah, and it ended up being like all the standard advice that they were giving. Like, you should look at the camera, you should smile. Like, actually, didn't end up being the case. And the one shot that they hated the most, which was the MySpace shot. You know, so girls will use this. They'll hold their cell phone kind of up at an angle. They'll look up at it. And apparently it's the most effective shot for, getting responses.
That's really funny.
But another one of them is, the guys, making not direct eye contact with the camera. I think it was something like that. They looked especially mysterious and, intriguing to people. So, kind of reminds me of that a little bit. So, anyway, getting back to the Let Your Freak Flag Fly.
Freak Flag.
Yeah. Pretty decent podcast. Gave me a lot to think about.
Nice.
So, what else is going on?
What else we got going on? I'm in the middle of making a Christmas list here, stocking stuffer list. So we had the first thing I wanted to talk about is Sarah's ornament project.
Yeah.
We had talked a little bit about it during the last podcast, and it's actually coming up this weekend. So if anybody's listening and they want to take part in it, it's going to be here at the studio Saturday, December 11th. It starts at 1:30. And we're going to get a bunch of people together and just make Christmas ornaments. We're going to hand design Christmas ornaments that we're going to donate to the Nashua Pastoral Care Center for families that are living in transitional housing.
Nice. When is this again?
That is this Saturday, December 11th. And it starts at 1:30, and I think we're going to go to about 4:30. And Sarah said she's going to have hot cider and snacks and stuff like that. If you're not doing anything and you want to come down, and we should have some art stuff here that we can draw and cut and stuff with. Or if you've got, even if you don't want to make one, if you have old ornaments that might be in your garage or your cellar or your basement and you don't use them anymore and you want to donate them, you can drop them off here at the studio during that time, and we'll make sure that they get to, people that could use them.
Good.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, how did the stroll before the stroll go last?
It went pretty good. It was 2 weeks, two Saturdays ago.
Yeah.
We did an open house thing here at the studio, and we did little silly Christmas themed kind of pictures, and Animal, my Muppet Animal, he kind of got in most of the images. He sort of found his way on onto the studio floor. Mm-hmm. And
real crowd.
He was. He got his little Santa hat on, and people were just like, oh, my God. so I thought that was kind of fun. So people came in, and we did some silly pictures, and I threw them up on Facebook, and I tried to tag everybody that I could. And it was pretty good. It's hard. Like, being on the fourth floor is always difficult. So I think the people on the second floor got the most traffic during that. And usually we're lucky if we can get, a quarter to half of the people that come into the building. But we got some friendly faces came in. There's some people that I've seen, like, every art walk, they found out that this was going on that weekend. So they came up just to say hi. There was one woman came in, and she was just like, oh, just want to see how everything's been going since the last time I saw you. And,
that's good.
That's pretty cool. So that's kind of cool.
Nice.
And, yes. So that went really well. And that was kind of cool because we did, I had a shoot with this local musician, Matt Jackson. And that all tied into the holiday show because they got a hold of me and he was coming out with a new album. And then they booked him to play on Black Friday at the mall. And then he was going to play that night at the holiday stroll on Saturday. So he decided he wanted his album ready for that Friday and Saturday so that while he's performing, he can actually start selling, hard copies of his music and stuff. So we had kind of this rush shoot a couple of days before Black Friday. And it went really well. Like he's a nice little guy and he's got a great sound. His website is at mattjacksonlive.com, MattJackson. Really nice guy. So he sort of had this idea he wanted to do. He wanted this kind of like slightly nerdy theme for the album cover. And so he came to the studio. It was quite a long shoot. It was nice. It went really well. He came in and we did some stuff in the studio. We did some stuff on black. We did some stuff on white so they could use them for press kit shots. Mm. And then the actual album artwork we did over at Studio 99, Elise let us shoot in there. She has a giant old-fashioned chalkboard. And so the way we set the shot up was he was in a shirt and a bow tie and he had kind of nerdy glasses on. And the cover of the album was him sort of doing all these different mathematical equations that somehow relate to, like, love. And the name of the album is Prove You Wrong. So he was, like, mathematically through these equations proving to this other person that they were wrong. And it was kind of cool. So he did all these little things, and we shot him.
Doesn't actually work.
Sort of course it does. So we shot him with the bow tie and all that kind of stuff. And then the back of the album was him, like, sort of more sexed up a little bit. Like the bow tie was off and the shirt was unbuttoned and the glasses were off. And he's a good-looking dude. He's in shape. And and then the back of the album, we erased all the equations and then we wrote all the track listings for the songs.
Nice.
And I think it came out. They seemed very happy with it.
The pictures are great.
Yeah, they look good. I like it because it's my first hard copy of something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've got these little...
you didn't have to print yourself.
Right, exactly. I didn't have to make a fit. It is.
Yeah.
So that made me feel good. Like, one of the sort of small accomplishment steps I was hoping that I could get to within the next couple of years is, I'd like to have a package that, I can go into my CD collection. And it helps me feel like I'm part of the industry.
Yeah.
So that was good. So that was like a little thing I could check off. Like I have, I've got, like the CD artwork is on the CD. It was printed on the CD. It's got front and back artwork, and it makes sense as a package. It looks good. It looks professional. So I was pretty happy with that. And it was good. And Matt seemed really, really happy with the ways that they came out. And everything was, but he was like up to that point, like he was hardcore. Like we did the shoot like all morning and all afternoon. And then as soon as we were done, he was going directly to the studio to re-record the entire album because he wasn't happy with the way it came out previously. And so there's a documentary video. I think I linked it on my Facebook business page. He was in the studio for like 2.5 days straight. They cut the whole new album and it went to print and they had it for Black Friday. And I think we did the shoot like the week of Black Friday. Like on Tuesday we did the shoot and by Friday the album was completely recorded, had been mastered, had been pressed to CD and all the packages were ready. And on that Friday there was cell phone pictures showing up on his Facebook page of him at the mall and a table was set up and they made this really nice large square print of his face that I'd taken in the studio and like he was selling CDs and it was awesome. It was impressive. Really, really cool.
It's got stuff together.
Yeah, they pulled it all together really well.
Nice. Out of curiosity, what else is on your list of things to check off?
Just trying to keep busy. Today is Thursday. The cover of the Hippo for this week has got an image that I shot of the band Mama Kicks.
Oh, cool.
We did it last month, and they recorded, the band Mama Kicks, they were the backup band for this local musician who's a member of this band Godsmack. They're from Manchester, but they've sort of gone national, like they're a big national band. Mm. So this guy, Sully, the lead singer of Godsmack, and I remember when I used to work at Newbury Comics in Manchester, I remember Sully before they went big, quote unquote. You know, I remember they used to come in to Newbury Comics all the time. And, you know, like, so that was kind of cool. Like, I know these guys. And so they came in and they did all the background music, or they were the supporting band for his first solo CD that just came out. So the Hippo wanted to do an article about how these local musicians have worked with this national guy and sort of stuff like that. It was good. And they came in the studio, and I had shot them a few years ago in 2007. They came up here. We did some stuff for the Best of 2007 Hippo thing. They had won an award. So they came up, and that was really nice. And it's funny because the lead singer, the female lead singer, Lisa Geyer, who I've heard of her ever since I worked at Rocket Records back in the early, mid-90s. And I remember selling, I think she had her album sold on consignment there. So I've sort of known, like, I've known of her for a really long time. And she's got a fantastic voice. Like, she's got, like, this great hard rock, classic rock voice. Like, she just, she's got balls, man. Like, she sings really well. Yeah. And then the drummer, this David Stefanelli guy, he's really funny. I like him a lot. But it's funny because he was actually in a band that I used to listen to in high school. So, like, he was in this band called RTZ, which had members of Boston in it.
Oh, wow.
And he was the drummer. And I remember hanging around with my buddy Todd really loved that album. And I remember just like driving around playing this CD. And then like, finally I found out, I put two and two together and I'm like, no crap, this is that dude. So like when this time when he came in, cause it was before I found out, last time I shoot him, I didn't know it. But so this time, like when he first came in, there was that like slight tinge of like, I used to listen to your music when I was, you know, like 18, like driving around on my friend's, you know, station wagon, like blasting this shit really loud. So that was really cool. And he's a really funny guy. So yeah, so they have the new album, the Sully, I'm gonna mess up his last name, Erna. Sully Erna. And the album's called Avalon, and it's out now. But pick up the Hippo. It's free. It's free all over the place.
Good.
It's a good article.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And then what else? Oh, and then I had a shoot with so we had the Honey Year Trio. They performed at Studio 99 last Saturday. And they are the bassist from the Honey Year Trio. They're a New York jazz ensemble. Mm-hmm. And the bassist is from Michael Ballar's As Is Ensemble, Renee Hart, who provides our intro and outro music for the official unannounced, unnamed podcast. So they came up, and like I can't even explain it. Like, they were so good. They're just fantastic. So we did a shoot here at the studio beforehand, and then they sort of arranged it so that they would do the shoot and the concert at the same time. And they were just so good. They were really, really good. And it's like, it's different. Like, Ballar's band is really, really good, but it just has a different sound. Mm. And these guys were like, just wow, just totally top of their game. And I don't know. You have to check them out. They're at honeyeartrio.com. Their album's coming out in March. I got a chance to listen to it already, and it's just tight, tight, masterful jazz compositions. Mm. Just really, really good stuff. So I think they're going to come back in March. They're coming. Their album's actually coming out in March, and they're going to try to do an East Coast tour.
Oh, great.
So, you know, if you're listening and you love jazz, please go see these people. They're just, oh, they're so good. I can't even explain. Like, it's just, you know, like, you see some people, and like, this is just like top of the line. I mean, you know, like Eric Lawrence, the saxophone player, like he's, you know, he's part of Grammy award winning albums. And, you know, and Allison Miller on drums, and she's just crazy. She's so good. She's so good. And then Renee kicks ass, and he was doing this thing beforehand. We were doing the shoot. He had a little music box, and he had ripped it apart. And so he had like the inside of the music box, and he was doing this thing where he was like scratching the notes that are on the music box. And then he would set it down on like a hard wood surface, and it had this, it almost sounded like a techno loop. And he was just like, he was pulling it, and he was like just pulling it and putting it down on the wood. It was awesome. It was great. And he was trying to do it during the concert, but it wasn't, you couldn't really hear it because it wasn't close enough to the microphone and stuff. But it was awesome. And that's just sort of like, he's just constantly playing around with things to get really cool sounds out of stuff. And he had like, his bass was hooked up to a laptop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he had this cool this thing, and it was doing these like samples and stuff underneath it. And it was really, really neat.
That's cool.
But I would definitely check them out there. HoneyEarTrio.com. And they're just fantastic, fantastic, like like top of their craft. You know, like they just got their shit together. They know what they're doing. Mm. And it was just for me, it was just exciting to see a really good, like, even when As Is plays, it was just really good to see a really, really professional jazz trio perform in Nashua. Like, you know, like, huh?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like if you like jazz, you have to come and see them next time because they're right here. They're going to be here in town. Go see them. Dave's telling me to wrap it up. So anyways, that's my gushing of local music lately. And your dad's like up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Your dad came to
that's
visit?
Why I wasn't able to see the Honey Ear Trio. Dad's plane was coming in at 9. The concert was at 8. So I had to get up to Manchester to pick him up. His plane was delayed, so it ended up being like, could have gone. But
the MHT. Is that a direct flight?
No, he actually had to like wait for 7 hours in Detroit.
Oh, my God.
So he flew in from, Delta Airlines from Taiwan to, I don't know, I'm guessing some port of entry. The port of entry might have been Detroit, actually.
Detroit.
Yeah, Taiwan to Japan to Detroit to Manchester. So 7 hour wait, and it'll be a 9 hour wait for him in the airport. Got here around 11. And when the first 24 hours of him getting here, he fixed the wallpaper in the bathroom. He rearranged the entire guest room. He made this table that I thought was gray turn white because it was just dirty.
Wow. So he does this whenever he comes up see you, right? Like
he just notices things. Like my personality type is such that I tend not to notice.
The sloppy type?
I'm essentially an introvert, which means that I'm energized by things that are happening in my head. So I spend a lot of time in my head. I don't notice things like dust, or it doesn't really bother me.
Mold.
But Dad, Dad says, that could be neater. He'll arrange it. This should go with this.
What
and
is
he'll
that?
Put that with that. And so he's been here for now, I guess, 3 or 4 days. And he cleaned up my entire laundry room.
Wow.
And there's all this space, and he organized my tea collection.
Man,
it's kind of amazing.
You need to have your dad come visit more often, right?
Yeah, like I try every time he visits, I pick up a few more tricks about how he does it. But he just like has this need or this desire to make the area around him
clean,
organized. And I never really picked up on this when I was a kid, living at home. Probably because I just was a slob back then. I didn't care about such stuff.
Oh, back then?
Yeah, back then. Oh, now okay. I'm still pretty slobby. Okay. A little bit better. You're living by myself. Like there's nothing to think about. But fortunately, he came after Thanksgiving. I had already cleaned up somewhat before he got there, so it wasn't like a total disaster.
Yeah.
But there's a whole other level. It's like you talk about, there's this level of professional jazz that exists. There's a level of professional cleaning that exists that like, to me, it seems like I couldn't even imagine it until like Dad got here, and then it's like, wow, that could be cleaner.
That's funny.
That could be more straight. These could be lined up, and all it takes. The amazing thing is he doesn't make a big production out of it. Because for me, when I clean up something, I'm thinking, oh, I've got all this time, and I got to clean things and move, and I build up this picture in my head. I've been reading this book called The Introvert Advantage that my friend Mark J. Reeves out in Salem. Recommended to me, and it talks about the introverted type in the psychological sense.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean shy. It means that we tend to get our energy from the inner world of ideas, whereas an extrovert gets turned on by things that are happening outside the world, and they actually get energy by being out and socializing things like that.
Yeah.
Whereas introverts, we just get tired and then we had to sleep a lot. But so one of the things that's about being the introvert is, I can't remember where I was going with this. I'm high in cough syrup right now. I can't remember. There was a point to it. Maybe it'll come back to me. What was I talking about?
Being an introvert.
Yeah, but before that,
your father cleaning and that's how he does things and your slob.
Yeah. Maybe he gets energy from that. I can't remember what I should have written it down.
Gets energy from you being a slob.
Well, he gets energy from cleaning things or moving things around because he's in the world.
Yeah.
Whereas, I'm in
another You're place. In your head.
I'm in my head.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to think, I think of myself as being just floating head, disconnected from the world.
That's wow.
Yeah, I know. So like, I'd go through these things, and like essentially the body was a conduit for the head.
You're like Jambi from Pee-wee's Playhouse. We could put your head in a box.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You ever see that? The Mecha-like-a-hi-mecha-hiney-ho guy?
No, I never watched Pee-wee's
Playhouse. Oh, yeah. It was a genie head, and it was inside this box.
Wow. Can you believe we have 4 minutes left?
Holy crap.
Is there anything else that we got to talk about?
Let me see. We'll skip that. Nothing that's like pressing. I bought myself my Christmas present this year. I took some pictures of them the other day. I've been looking for a very long time for a certain line of die-cast metal robots based on a cartoon that I used to watch when I was like 8 or 9 called Force 5, which was an Americanized version of these Getter Robo series mm-hmm. from Japan. Mm-hmm. And back in 2003, this line called The Soul of Chogokin by Bandai makes these just hardcore die-cast robots,
metal.
All metal. And they came out with these three. It's a set of three from Getter Robo G, or in the U.S. it was known as Starvengers, and it was these three ships that formed three different robots, depending on how they landed on top of each other. And I finally found them. Years and years and years and years and years of searching, you know, trying not to pay expensive Japanese prices for these things.
Yeah.
And finally, my eBay alerts thing went off, and there was somebody in Canada that had a set. And it was still fairly expensive, like, but I just, and then Sarah saw them, and she was like, oh, they're beautiful. Like, they're just, the colors are great, and they're all primary colors. And
like
she's like, you should get them. And then we got them, and I took them out of the box, and like, she was literally like, she's like, these are like, beep, awesome. You know, like she actually swore, but
wow.
Yeah, she thought they were really great, and they're huge. Like they're large and they're just heavy and
those things were like a couple $100 when they came out new each, something like that.
Something like the thing about that line is that they go out of print really fast.
Yeah.
And so like I could buy a set, like you could buy a set for like $500 from Japan, and then it would cost another, I don't know how much, to ship them over here and stuff.
They had those special like boards that
you can Yeah, they had like all these, you know, these little stands that they come on and everything. And it was just crazy. And I was like, I knew I would never get them. And this just one set came up, and they had been taken out of the box, but the person still had all the boxes and everything was mint. It was just just in Canada, and nobody else had been on it. And I'm like, everything is mint in Canada.
Everyone's nice.
Yeah. Smiling. Nice robot you got there, eh? So I put a bid in, and it was the only bid that went. And Sarah was just like, you know, they're cheaper than they would be if you ordered them from Japan, significantly. She's like, you know, when are you going to have the chance to do that again? So they came in, but she gave me the these are effing awesome. And I was like, yeah.
That's great.
So those are cool. So I took some pictures of those. I actually put them up on my Flickr feed and everything.
Yeah, we'll put a link up on the podcast page so
yes.
people can find them, see what they look like. They are awesome.
They're so awesome. I'm so happy.
So I guess that's it. We've got another 90 seconds to go before we close off.
What else is coming up? The Tron movie comes out soon. We were last couple of days we've been nerding out on like all these people that have been making homemade Daft Punk helmets.
Yeah, all these LED light up things.
Oh.
We need to learn how to make these chaser circuits so we can just make stuff light up.
That's awesome.
Everything will light up.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
I want that.
Yeah.
And that was about it. And then you were saying something like the new Star Trek Online thing just came out.
Oh, yeah. Season 3 today. There's like they're adding.
Today.
Yeah, that's my big nerd thing, playing the Star Trek Online game, designing characters in it so they have nice hair.
nice hair.
So, they, you know, they're all these Starfleet officers, and like it's highly embarrassing, but for some reason I'm into it. But they're adding a few new features to it, and they're keeping this franchise moving along.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to make missions, which is exciting. So that can take some of the storytelling stuff I've been exploring.
Good.
You know, along.
Good.
Yeah. That's
cool.
About it.
That's cool. That's very cool.
Yeah. Other than the blogging stuff that's been going on, I can talk about that next time.
Yeah.
Just getting back into it, trying a different thing now.
Yeah.
For 2011 to move the entire enterprise along. No pun intended there.
Yeah. So we should the next one we should try to keep it a little more business oriented, I think. We've been doing kind of nerdy stuff for a while.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so we could alternate. We could throw in an extra one.
Try to get a little more serious or something.
Yeah.
Or try to
we could
talk
do one
about
next
the,
week too.
The business. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll talk about that. We'll interject a bonus podcast about the business stuff.
There you go.
But in the meantime, this is Dave Say, digital media designer.
Photographer Sid Caesar.
Bye.
We'll see you later. Have a good week. Come on! awesome. I'm going to go eat my Hello Panda candy now.